Our scripture reading today is Luke chapter 19, verses 28 through 40. Please stand if you are able for the reading of the gospel. After he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he had come near Bethphage and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it.' So those who were sent departed and found it as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They said, 'The Lord needs it.' Then they brought it to Jesus. And after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, order your disciples to stop.' He answered, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out.'" This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Well, that was just a mic drop right there. Several years ago at one of my churches, I got a phone call that led to me riding a donkey. It didn't turn out pretty. On the phone was the mother of someone on the high school basketball team. "Good morning, Pastor Michael," she said with an excitement so contagious I wondered what was coming. She reminded me of the annual donkey basketball fundraiser where leaders of the community were chosen to play a round of basketball while riding a donkey. I wasn't sure if this was an honor or a dishonor, but the more she talked, the more I searched frantically for something in my schedule to get out of it, like a root canal. Unfortunately, I had no prior obligations, and I wanted to help the local community, the school, and so I signed up, and I said yes, and I wondered what I had gotten myself into. On the day of the event, participants gathered in the high school locker room, and we were issued a live donkey on a rope and a helmet. We were briefed on a few matters of safety, which ironically involved signing a waiver, and we were instructed on how the game would proceed. A bit of a farm kid, I had never, you know, I didn't have any experience of donkeys, and so I was in for a surprise. Some of the donkeys were skittish, and if you got a good one, you could coax it into doing what you wanted, but the one I got was a stubborn old donkey that refused to budge. I tried to drag him in one direction, but he would pull back in the opposite. I would get on top of that old bony thing, and he would just put his head down and maybe try just to, you know, kind of, he just would not cooperate. I tried to drag him in one direction. The whole audience was loving every minute of it. Reva, were you there? Yes. They were all laughing and pointing fingers at bank presidents and pastors and superintendents who were trying to get our donkeys to cooperate. It was humiliating, right there in front of everyone. Has anyone been on a donkey's back? Oh, it's just, you guys know what it's like. It's humiliating. Right there in front of everyone, this old donkey was bony. And after about 5 minutes on a donkey's back, I sat the rest of the day on a cushion. It was a fun and memorable experience, but I learned that day in donkey basketball that riding a donkey is not a pleasurable thing. In fact, it's pretty embarrassing. And it gave me a new perspective about how Jesus, something that we talk about always this time of year, how Jesus rode a donkey into Jerusalem, and I cannot imagine it would be very comfortable. In fact, Palm Sunday to me is a bit uncomfortable. In the midst of the joy, there is an eeriness to it. In our scripture today, Jesus rides on the back of a donkey into Jerusalem for the Passover. It was Sunday, but by the end of the week, he would be crucified and hung on a cross. Today, he enters in a very triumphal way. In verse 30 of Luke's account, and it's told in all the Gospels, Jesus tells two of his disciples to go on up ahead of the city, and they would find, in this particular case, a colt, but in other cases, it's said a donkey. They were to untie it and bring it back to Jesus. They went and brought it back, and you know, Jesus riding on a donkey, this is not what I think anybody would have expected in his day. Now, this is a significant detail because, first, it's a fulfillment of prophecy. The disciples would have remembered, and perhaps many other Jewish folks in the crowd would have remembered, that the Old Testament book of Zechariah prophesies this. In Zechariah 9:9, it says that the king comes to you, triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding on a donkey. That Jesus would fulfill these words of riding in a donkey into Jerusalem would have shown all who were gathered there that this is part of God's plan, that Jesus could be trusted, that he was doing that what centuries they had prepared. Today we're talking about self-giving and the example that Jesus shows us, how we can see the awe of God through self-giving and sacrifice. That Jesus rode into the city on a donkey or a colt shows his humility. I mean, he didn't ride in on a, well, the kids had even mentioned on a coach or a caravan or a big Clydesdale or, you know, some type of great big horse. I don't know where those come from. But where a great big horse. To ride into a city on a donkey would have been a very humble and a lowly thing. I mean, this was fitting for a Savior who taught his followers about living humbly. It was Jesus who said, whoever wishes to be great must be your servant. Jesus said, let the little children come to me. In ancient times, it's believed that donkeys were an animal of peace versus the horse, which was an animal of war. Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, you see, was a fitting example of how Jesus is the Prince of Peace. In verse 35, that colt was brought to Jesus, and people took their coats and they put them on the back of the animal, and Jesus sat on it. And then to honor Jesus, the crowds of people welcomed him. They even put their cloaks on the ground, and not in our passage, but in Mark's, for example, and others, they put leafy branches, which we interpret to be palms, and they laid them out on the path before Jesus. And this, historians tell us that these palm leaves have great significance. In many places, it was customary to cover the path of someone who you believed to be deserving of honor. And there were some places in the Old Testament where kings were welcomed in this way. The palm branch was also used as a symbol, like in Jewish sacrifices. And also in Rome, it was a symbol of power. You would see this in temples, and people, like if the gods were being worshipped, there were palm branches. So this was sort of an affront to Rome, the kingdom of Rome, that people were waving palm branches to Jesus, the Prince of Peace, and riding in on a donkey. This has political connotations. In ancient Egypt, the palm was used in funeral processions, and it represented eternal life. The palm branch has been used later by Christian martyrs to symbolize their victory over death. In Revelation, the white-clad multitude stands before the throne, and they were waving palm branches. And so you can see that the deep-rooted, pervasive symbolism of palms, not only in theology, in Jewish theology, but also within Rome. And the fact that they were waving these palm branches in to welcome Jesus really was kind of telling Rome that we welcome not your kingdom, but the kingdom of God. All this pomp and circumstance kind of has an eerie feeling for me. You know, like in the summer when there's this, it just kind of feels stormy, it's kind of hot and it gets humid and you feel this creepy feeling that there's going to be a storm tonight. You know, this is kind of what I feel like on Palm Sunday. Jesus rides into this perfect storm. Things are about to get ugly. As Jesus fulfilled the prophecy of entering Jerusalem on a donkey, and in a few days he would face his death and resurrection. As Jesus rode into that storm that was brewing, he surely knew all that would lie ahead and all that was going on. And well, because Jesus was not the king that everyone expected. instead of a donkey, you would have expected Jesus to come in on a beautiful horse, a powerful one. But because Jesus is the Prince of Peace, he rode on a donkey instead. Some in the crowd were probably dissatisfied and not happy with this. They wanted an earthly king who would come and overthrow everything and make sure and create justice and make sure everybody was treated fairly, would turn things over like you wouldn't believe. But in Jesus wouldn't do it that way. When the crowd shouted, "Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord," you see, they weren't just shouting, "Hip, hip, hooray." They weren't just grabbing branches and waving. They were proclaiming Jesus is the Messiah, that his kingdom was the one that they served. And hopefully, they hoped that he would rule with a peaceful, but a strong and mighty hand. Now, to a certain point, he did overturn some things. This week, he would go in and he would overturn the temple when he saw greed and injustice there. This was a savior who rode into Jerusalem, not on a horse for battle, but a donkey of peace. This Jesus became so angry at injustice and greed that he ransacked the house of God. Jesus would praise a widow for giving her 2 coins, more than the sums of money that were given by the rich. Jesus had something to say for a government and a religion that was put together and served only the rich. This is a savior who would curse the fig tree. This is a savior who would be willing to ride into the storms that were brewing so that he could save the world with his love and his grace. You see, when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the donkey and he was being welcomed with great fanfare, he showed the world that he is a Prince of Peace. Jesus loves the poor, the hurting, the marginalized, the forgotten. And he showed us what true humility and self-giving really looks like. You know, self-giving isn't something that we see or hear much of these days. We see a lot of selfishness, but we don't see a lot of selflessness. We see, though, the ultimate example of self-giving in Jesus Christ. He knew that he was the Son of God. He knew he could turn around and not go through any of these trials, and yet he faced it anyway, because he knew humility, humbleness, and sacrifice was the way to the kingdom of God. Jesus humbled himself by suffering at the hands of his peers, by suffering and dying on the cross. And what this means for us today is that we do not face our own trials alone, whatever they may be. Whatever you may be going through, so has Jesus. He cares for your every need. And his resurrection gives us hope, not only for the future, but today. In surrendering what Jesus was going through, in surrendering to God, he also shows us how to give our own concerns and worries to God when we face these storms as he did. In surrendering all of that, Jesus was able to face his trial and death with strength, and he knew that this was God's plan for him to redeem the world. You see, God does not desire suffering, but God will use it many times to allow good to triumph over evil. And this, I believe, what happened at Christ's crucifixion, and it's what he does in our own lives and in our world. What are the ways that you see others reaching out to you in selfless ways? What are the ways that God may be calling you to give from your heart so that we and others may experience the awe of God? In a world of selfishness and greed, Jesus and his kingdom teaches us a new way, doesn't he? A way of selfless giving, a way of humility and love and peace and wholeness. I know many of us have seen and experienced it in the trials that we are going through. The selfless giving, the calls, the texts, the love, the food, the care of that we can provide each and every one, that's selflessness. And I think we see even images of it, of how we can experience the awe of God through self-giving and sacrifice. And really, all of these themes this month have really just kind of run together in a way. Because it is in beauty and curiosity and connection, really there's a cycle together that we see how they relate to one another. Oh, we're living in a kingdom, in a time in which kingdoms are ruled on power and greed and selfishness. And really the only awe that we often experience is really shock and awe. But today Jesus shows us another way, a way of a kingdom of peace. Jesus shows us how to become less selfish and more selfless. And in the backdrop of all that we are seeing and hearing, Jesus shows us that there's power and awe in selfishness and service and in self-giving. That's when we see the awe of God at work. And so I just challenge us as we end our series of celebrating the awe of God is to think about how all these ways that we experience, rather through meaning and connection and curiosity and beauty, all these ways we can experience God, we can see the fullness of God in one another, and we can share his love. So Jesus, as he rides into Jerusalem, really in a humble way, teaches us humility and selflessness so that the glory is God's and the kingdom of God may be truly known in really a world of so much kingdoms of power and greed. So let's keep on being selfless and giving and sharing, because that is how the power of God is revealed in our lives and in our world. Let's pray. Loving God, we thank you for your selfless giving and for your example of how to overcome the world. Through peace and through selfless giving and through love and humility, you teach us that way. And you show us that through it all, healing and wholeness can be found. Lord, revive us, strengthen us, renew us as we reach and as we lean to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.